What do you say about their fathers? It's still written down, 2 Kings chapter 22. I can't hear you. They hadn't been doing what the law had said. He says specifically that their fathers hadn't kept the commandments of God. And as a matter of fact, he says hadn't kept all of what God had said. And that's why I said probably little incremental things. They were doing some things of God, but they had mixed it with some other stuff and didn't become the Word of God anymore. Because it wasn't the will of God. But he tears his clothes and he seeks. I want you to think about, what is he doing? Every time you see someone tear their clothes, they're lamenting, they're crying out. They're crying out to God because of what's happening. He sends word with Hilkiah and Shaphan and all this crew off to the prophetess. She's going to tell them what the will of God is. So we kind of have a series here that I want to put in front of us again. I don't want to do too much on the screen because the Bible is much more important than the screen. But he hears the book of the law read. He tears his clothes. He inquires of the will of God. That's him sending to the prophetess. And we'll read what she says here in a second. And then he's going to renew covenant with God. Now, I said Bible study is going to lead to a prayer life. Because, well, it's not that this is lost. But when we get in here, we make an amazing discovery. Have you had those moments? I know David has. Anytime you study in this, and a lot of times I've said this before, and it's been told to me before, even before I started preaching, and I know David's been preaching a lot longer than I have, but when you prepare a lesson, who's the hit first? We know those moments. You hit that discovery, and it may be something that you didn't want to see, but something that calls out. And something that you have to deal with. And where does that send you? Send you God. Is it building our prayer life? You want a good study habit? There's all these different study read programs, read through the Bible in, a year, read through the Bible in 24 days or whatever you want to do. You can make them custom now. But don't just read. When you read whatever that section is, even if it's just a chapter a day or whatever it may be, sit down, of course, and think about what you read and try this. Pray about what you read. Pray about it. Not the fact that you've read something, but what you discovered in reading that. You want a stronger prayer life? And we're going to do the same things that Josiah is doing. I know this is a kind of epic scale here. But it's the same idea. We read the book. It affects us. It may not be us tearing clothes. It may be us getting excited about something. It may be us lamenting something. It may be us being encouraged or strengthened when we're down. And then what does he do after he hears it read? He inquires what? Inquires the will of God. For us, it's going to be back to his word. For him, it's going to be for a prophet in that day. And then there's going to be kind of a renewal. We'll get to that here in just a second. Let me stop here a second. Is there any questions or thoughts or anything that you want to add? Because I don't like to just sit up and lecture all the time. I do that enough. But it's all the time I'm going to ask. If you don't ask now, I'm going to ask again. 2 Kings chapter 22. Let's go back to the text now. So verse 14, so Hilkiah and all of his band of misfits here go to the prophet, her name's Huldah, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tikva, the son of Peras, keeper of the wardrobe. She dwells in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. We can talk about a whole lot of places about there were prophetess and so forth. That's not really in the scale of what we're talking about tonight. But notice she's not at the temple, and she's not the high priest. She's doing her role, which she is a mouthpiece for God, but they're going to find her where? In her home. Okay? Just a thought to put out there in case you want to go back and study a little bit. Verse 15. Then she said to them, thus says the Lord God of Israel. So here's the will of God that Josiah is asked to hear. Tell the man who sent you to me. Now she knows who sent him to him, but that's how she words it. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. What did Josiah say when he heard it read? We are under what? The wrath of God. I mean, he recognized it when he heard it. And here is Huldah, and she says, behold, I will bring calamity. The Lord says, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the words of this book which the king of Judah has read. And because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. And that happens, doesn't it? They're going to go into Babylonian exile not long after Josiah. It's still going to be a little ways because he's going to preserve them for a little bit because of this good king. But he says it's coming. If we keep reading, verse 18, but as for the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against the place and against its inhabitants, and they would become a desolation, a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you. Now, this is where we've got to pay attention in our Bible study, because I'm going to suggest to you, when he tore his clothes, he was praying to God. Now, how do I know that? What did we just read? Let's go back. But as for the king, verse 18, verse 19, but your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place, that's when it's being read before him, and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept. Well, that's not necessarily words, is it? What do you do when you weep? I know guys aren't going to answer this one. I know it's kind of one of the sensitive things. When you weep, you pour yourself out. There's some reason that you're... When we're not just talking about crying, and we're not talking about having something getting caught in your eye because you just dropped something on your toe. But we're talking about weeping. And he was weeping. He was weeping to God. And God heard it. And the prophetess tells him he's going to be spared because... A couple things that we know. He had a tender heart. What does that even mean? What is a tender heart? What is a tender anything? You want a tender steak or a hard steak? Tough steak. You can't chew on a tough steak too well, can you? You want that tender... Well, that's not what we're talking about. Let's see. What does it mean to have a tender heart?
Compassion.
Okay.
You got feelings.
You got feelings? Compassionate? What would we call the opposite, maybe, of a tender heart? Cold-hearted? Hard-hearted? So this man had a tender heart. He heard the Word of God, and he allowed it to do what? He allowed it to convict him. I'm thinking of Acts chapter 2, when Peter is before the crowd. He's preaching to them from David, and he says, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that this man you crucified, this man that you took with lawless hands, this man that you murdered, God has made what? Both Lord and Christ. And when they heard it, what does it say happened to them? Pricked in the heart. They're tender-hearted. They allowed it to affect who they are. They allowed it to touch their heart. So we learned that about Josiah. He's tender-hearted. And if we keep reading in verse 19, he humbled himself. Not that he was already humble. We're not talking about a character here. You know, a character trait. We might talk about someone being humble. And we need to be humble, right? But notice again, verse 19. Because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself. So there is an act there. And the idea is he is placing himself. He's submitting underneath. He's humbling himself before God. And he humbled himself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place. So, tender-hearted, and he humbled himself. without being tender-hearted and without being willing to humble ourselves? What would be the opposite of humbling ourselves? Standing like this doesn't bother me. Or even to the point of outright pride or even indifference. But instead he humbled himself. So we see a couple things. Let's go back to this for a second. He heard the book of God read towards close. We learn later from the prophet that he was also weeping about what he heard. What he heard was that his fathers and those who had been teaching hadn't been teaching them the things of God. They hadn't been keeping the Word of God. They may have been keeping pieces of it, but they weren't keeping it. He inquires of the will of God. He finds out exactly what he heard. I wonder why it takes us sometimes, and I'm saying this just to ponder, and maybe for you to ponder with me, why it takes so many times to get through to us. Have you ever felt that way? Sometimes it just takes a little bit. My wife will tell you, it just takes a little bit to get through. I don't know if that's what's happening with Josiah, or if he's just trying to reaffirm what he already heard, but she doesn't tell him anything different other than his response, or God's response to him personally, does she? Okay, so he hears the book read, tears his clothes, is weeping, inquires the will of God, and then there's going to be this idea of renewal. So this is what I want you to take from this as we're looking at a big scale. We said that Bible study leads to prayer. That Bible study and prayer are kind of like DNA. They are going to be at the center of building blocks, if you would, of a Christian life. What kind of life are we going to have in Christ if we never study His Word? What kind of relationship with Christ are we going to have if we never speak to Him in prayer? See? So these are building blocks of what we're looking for. Here is Josiah trying to build a life on God. He's seeking God. He's going after the God of... He hears the Word of God preached. What does he do? Tender-hearted. Humbles himself. Accepts the will of God. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. This book always will be, always has been, relevant. But the problem is, are we tender-hearted, humble to accept it? Are we allow it to do its work? Let's see what he does with this. Let's get into chapter 23 real quick. Where will that put us? About quarter after? 20 after, somewhere in there?
20.
20. I would go all the way to 20. Chapter 23. It says, now the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah. Okay? We've got a king and all that, but the elders played a big part of the Jewish society ever since and before the Exodus. They played a big part. I guess you could all go all the way back to Isaac, to Jacob himself, to Jacob and Isaac and Abraham, you know, that father of the house. But they're still there. They rule their houses. They're the heads. He says, go gather them all up. In verse 2, the king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant which had been found in the house of the Lord. And then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. Now, wouldn't that be beautiful if that's where we begin? We know the history that's going to come after it, though. But I do want you to focus in on what he just did. So he took the word that he heard. He investigated it more. Remember those of Berea, Paul said were more noble than those even at Thessalonica. And you think about that, Thessalonica is one that Paul just pours all this outpouring of praise on, isn't it? Tells about all of Macedonia to the outer parts of the world hearing about their faith. And yet he said, and we're told in the book of Acts, those of Berea were more noble than those of Thessalonica. For what reason? They checked daily to see if the things that were being said were so. So here he is, Josiah, and he hears the word of God and checks to make sure that it's right. He's already lamenting. He's not waiting for the answer. He takes it, and what does he do with it? He acts on it. Let me turn you to a part of the New Testament here, James chapter 1. If you turn over there real quick with me. Mind you, something that James said. We're going to go all the way back to our topic. I want to be, you know, try to be faithful to the topic here that we're given. The idea is faith, the idea is Bible study, the idea is prayer. We're seeing a very, kind of epic version of these thoughts. We're going to kind of push them back towards our level. Obviously, we're not going to go find the Word of God lost in the temple. We've got it right in front of us, but we need to seek God in it. And we need to listen to it. And we need to make sure what's being said when we hear it's read is being applied in our life. And here's why. Look at verse 21, James chapter 1. It says, therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. What was Josiah trying to do with his nation? He's trying to lay aside all that filthiness and overflow of wickedness. What do we need to do? We need to do the same thing. We need to cut down the high places that are in our life. God knows that might be there. They may not have graven images attached to them. They may not have altars. But they're there sometimes, and we need to make sure they come down. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness. And then he says, receive with meekness. Now, I know it's a different word, but we just talked about Josiah having what kind of heart? A tender heart. And now we're saying, being told that we need to receive the Word of God with what? With meekness. Same thing. I'd argue it's the same thing. The implanted word which is able to save your souls. What did it do for Josiah? Now he lives under a different covenant, a different situation. So this is not being presented as a plan of salvation, but it's the truth behind salvation, isn't it? What did he do with it? Saved it with meekness, a tender heart. He humbled himself before God, and what did it do? All this said, it saved what? It saved his life. It brought salvation. And what is he telling us here? Receive the word of God with meekness. Now we're going to be more specific instead of gospel, though. You probably do something after we finish up, right? Okay. I won't take that from David. But we have the opportunity to hear the word of God preached, the gospel most specifically. And he says to receive it with meekness, let it implant our hearts, because it's able to do what? Save our souls. Now what he said? It's able to save your souls. Keep reading with me. But be doers of the word. So he gathers up all the people of Israel, all the leaders, all the people, all the priests, all the prophets, and they make a covenant to do what? To keep every commandment, every statute, everything that God had said. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. And isn't this sad? We might not like what we see when we look in a mirror, but could you imagine looking in a mirror and then forgetting what you look like? I'm talking about what your hair was doing. That's what he says we're doing spiritually. If we just let it roll through the ears, we walk up to Brother David on Sunday morning and say, "Brother, good sermon," and then we walk out into the world, we don't do it. difference between Josiah and all those who came before him was when Josiah heard the word of God, he acted on it. He was a doer, not just a hearer. He received it with meekness that led to his saving of his soul. I'm trying to remember you. I'll do back up. Let's finish up on this. We're going to have to seek God's ways, just like Josiah did. We're going to have to make a decision. And I would say that most people, if not every person here, because I don't know you all, have probably already done this. And I'm kind of, well, they say preaching to the choir, but that doesn't quite, I don't know how that makes any sense. But anyway, we're going to have to seek His ways. That's what David did. Remember when he was 16, he began to seek the ways of what? God and his father David. We're going to have to open His Word and study from it. He got surprised with it. We need to open it still the same. And then we need to draw from that study as we seek a new relationship with God. And I'm not talking about not just the person coming to Christ. I'm talking about if you're in Christ, that relationship needs to be renewed every day. Look, just like if you're in a marriage, that relationship needs to be renewed every day. Heard a story once. You've probably heard a similar one. Husband and wife been married some 40, 50 years. She gets real upset one day and she comes up to her husband. She says, "You never tell me you love me." He said, "I told you 50 years ago. If I change my mind, I'll let you know." That doesn't work, does it? You've got to renew that relationship every day. How are we going to do it with God? We're going to do it by getting in His Book and staying in His Word. Having that meekness of heart to receive it, saving our souls. We need to draw from that study and seek that renewing of a relationship with God. All along the way, every step of the way, what do we got to do? You know what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6? Clothe yourself with that armor of God. Says, make your path. Keep your path with prayer. He also says that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 and 18. Of course, 17 is the one that's the most important to this, but rejoice always. We need to hear that a little bit more. We need to be a people of rejoicing. Remember, I asked you if David had found that scroll, what would he have been doing? Been rejoicing, wouldn't he? We need to rejoice in God, but pray without what? Ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Everything we do, Bible study leads to prayer, but everything we do needs to be centered with a heart that is looking at God, desiring His Word, His will, but praying to Him. Let me end with this last thought, and then we might end actually a couple minutes early. I hope that's not... don't complain too much, but you have the idea of prayer, you have the idea of Bible study. You want a stronger prayer life, get into that book. Read it. You're going through some difficult times, facing some things that you're really weighing on, get into the Psalms. Take some comfort words like those of David. Learn about God. Every time you open the book, no matter what you're studying for whatever reason, you're teaching a Bible class, you're just studying and reading through a year program, whatever it is, ask at least one question. You need to ask more. You need to ask, what is he saying? Who's he writing to? All those things. Good Bible study. But you need to make sure you don't leave out this one question. What does this tell me about God? I don't care if you're in the book of Genesis, Exodus, book of Revelation, book of John. Ask yourself, what does this tell me about God? Because guess what? We don't study Scripture and pray just so we can be good Christians. That would be like saying we buy food and clothes for our kids just so we can be good parents. We study and we have to have a heart that we study and pray because we want a relationship with God. So what happens if it's the other way? It doesn't last long, does it? I appreciate y'all inviting me. I'm going to go ahead and quit here. Maybe we're a couple minutes short, but again, thank you so much.
Thank you, Nick. We appreciate you doing that. Coming to be with us.